Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center here in El Cajon. Human rights have been all over the news lately, everywhere from Ferguson, Missouri to Iraq and Gaza. And my very special guest today, who I'm honored to have on the show, is Renee Altson. Renee is a local representative of Amnesty International, a chapter that started right here in El Cajon and now meets in Santee, and they have been busy standing up for human rights across the globe, really. Renee, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Can you start by telling us a little bit about how Amnesty International got started and what the mission is?
Sure. Amnesty International was started in 1961 by a gentleman named Peter Benson. And we are a global movement of individuals and groups who are interested in protecting justice and human rights around the world.
Very good. Now, lately, one of the issues that you've been involved in has been the Ferguson, Missouri shooting of an unarmed teenager. Tell us what your group here in East County has been doing about that.
We sent a letter to the high officials in that town and also in the state, asking just for an investigation into the police and requesting more scrutiny about what really happened.
Now, I understand that the local chapter of Amnesty International is hosting a Hands Up, Don't Shoot rally about the Ferguson situation, and that's coming up when and where?
Yeah, we're doing the protest on September 2nd at 5:30 p.m., and it's going to be at San Diego State. It'll be in Mozilla Aztec Student Union in San Diego.
So it'll be at the Aztec Student Union at San Diego State.
Yes.
Now, San Diego State, until recently, had an Amnesty International chapter of its own. I understand that it dissolved as the seniors graduated who were running it and moved on. Are you looking for new students to take that over?
Absolutely. It was very, very progressive and very well organized last year, and then all the seniors left, and unfortunately there were no people to step up, and so that chapter has closed. But there's definite desire to open it again.
Who should people contact if they're interested in that?
It's philosophy professor Mark Wheeler.
Okay, very good.
So he's in our local group. Mm-hmm. And he's also was kind of the teacher, liaison for the San Diego State group.
So as you've explained this to me, what your local chapter does is you choose several issues each week and you all sit down and you write, not emails, but old-fashioned handwritten letters that you mail to these leaders of countries around the world, police departments, whatever it might be. And this is part of a global effort, so it's actually not just you, but people around the world. So does it have much impact if they start getting boxes of mail coming into these offices?
Well, it's interesting because email is so common now, and most people use email. But research has shown that when these people receive actual physical letters, it just mounts up enough on their desk that they at some point have to acknowledge it in some way. So it's very much more effective to actually write on pen and paper. And I'm a slave driver. We're all tired at the end of the night because I try to do 5 action items every month. And that's quite a lot.
Yeah, that's a very impressive record. Now, you've had some victories, or Amnesty International at least has certainly had a voice in some examples of freeing people who were wrongly or unjustly imprisoned. For example, you were telling me about an Indonesian woman who had been gang raped and beaten, and what were the details of what she was facing?
She was arrested for adultery.
Adultery.
Mm-hmm.
So they considered it adultery even though she was gang raped.
Yes, and she was a Christian, which was also an issue. Mm-hmm. And so they arrested her, and they were going to beat her with stones. But, you know, there was going to be an official, like,
stoning.
Kill her with, yes,
wow.
A stoning. And there were letters from all over the world. We mostly write to officials, like people in higher up government who can actually do something and connect with what's going on you know, in other areas. And so I think we wrote two different actions, like two different hot times on behalf of the woman.
Mm-hmm. Who actually, I believe, gave birth to a son while she was in prison.
She did. Yeah. She did. And she's out of prison now. So.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. That was a fabulous victory. Now, I understand another case you've gotten involved in involved five journalists who were imprisoned in Myanmar, formerly Burma, simply for publishing a news story. So much for freedom of the press in Myanmar. What's happened there?
Yeah, they were jailed just for freedom of expression. That's all. And they were picked up, and there were five of them, or still are five of them. They were taken to prison. They were denied a lawyer at first. They're threatening them now, telling them that they will give them a longer prison sentence if they continue to ask for lawyers.
Wow.
So it's a big deal. And it was purely freedom of speech.
So this is an active, ongoing case where people can get involved if they choose. Now, some of the other issues have included torture, gay rights, women's rights.
We are talking women's rights to not have to wear the veil, mm-hmm. or women's rights to drive a car.
Or not be stoned to death.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Very, very basic, just human rights.
Yeah, the veil issue was interesting. That centered around the Saudi women who are prohibited from driving cars in Saudi Arabia. So there was an interesting global protest about that. Tell us some details.
Yes, there were women all over the world who took pictures wearing their veil and sitting in the driver's seat of their car.
To show that it's okay for faithful Muslim women to drive cars.
And it was hundreds of photos from everywhere. And it was such a great campaign that got people talking about just basic women rights.
Yeah. You've also been involved in death penalty issues and some other things. Amnesty International is certainly a well-known and respected global organization. On gay rights, now there you've been involved. We're not talking gay marriage or some of the things that have been controversial in America. We're talking about countries in Africa, for example, Uganda, where they have criminalized being gay. They're actually putting people in prison for life for being gay. They were even talking about, at one point, imposing the death penalties. You've been involved, for example, in trying to change policies or free people who've been imprisoned for being gay in Africa?
Yes. A lot of our main goals are to help certain individuals who have been jailed unfairly, mm-hmm. and we're trying to get them out of jail. There's a peace community in Sudan. They were all arrested for being a peaceful community.
So standing up for the rights of people to protest.
At people everywhere, mm-hmm. yes.
That's very important. Yeah. That's very important. That's certainly one of the issues, again, circling back to Ferguson, where it wasn't only the tragic death of this young man at the hands of the police, but it was how the police reacted to the protests with this militarization of the police and shutting down the protests and using tear gas. And certainly there was some issues on both sides, but then shutting the media out so they couldn't report on what was going
on.
Standing up for media rights is another thing.
Yes, also. And that Ferguson case was also, we wrote to the individuals above the police and asked them to really investigate what had happened. We did not write the police ourselves. We do not write people directly, except for at Christmas when we send letters and cards to the actual prisoners themselves, which is awesome thing.
And when we say prisoners, we're talking primarily prisoners of conscience, people who've been jailed for speaking out, for standing up for their beliefs.
Standing in the wrong place.
Right, not criminals, typically. You've had some very famous international names get involved in Amnesty International, some celebrities. Give us some examples.
It's amazing. Because we were started in 1961, we had people way back then, and we in the past 10 years or so, we've had Sting.
Bono?
Mm-hmm. He's very passionate about a lot of things.
Yeah. One of the great voices for Amnesty International who was lost just recently was Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he did a recording. Mm-hmm. He made a video for Amnesty International.
Yeah, you can Google and still see the Robin Williams Amnesty International video on YouTube, I believe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You've also been involved in fighting the death penalty, some international things, Gaza. I know you've told me that you wrote letters on both sides. And I assume, by the way, that if people support generally the humanitarian goals of Amnesty International, can they pick and choose if they want to write letters on some causes, but not others?
And there's online versions of letters, and then there's actual brick and mortar, pen and ink. A lot of people do just online actions, and it seems to be just enough. They don't need to go to a meeting, but
yeah, so you can participate at different levels. So where do they get information about the East County chapter, the El Cajon chapter of Amnesty International that meets in Santee?
Yes, we meet on the last Monday of every month.
And where are the meetings?
Are at Summit Unitarian Universalist Church.
So those meetings are held at Summit Unitarian Universalist Fellowship Church, which is at 8778 Cottonwood Avenue in Santee. What time are the meetings?
We meet at 6:30.
6:30.
And it's usually till 8:30 or 9, and we have a great time. We always are able to talk about the issues of the day, and just there's so much pride in being a part of an organization that you can go home at the end of the day and say, I did something tangible about human rights today.
So important. Now, you also have a Facebook page where people can learn more about the issues for your chapter 672. What is the Facebook page?
The Facebook page is facebook.com/AIUSA672. You can also go, there's an international website, which is just amnesty.org. There's a USA-specific website, which is AIUSA.org.
Good point. So if someone's listening online, we do also podcast these, and you're not in San Diego's East County, that's how you can find out and get involved to help save lives in some cases.
I really cannot express to you the feeling of knowing that someone you wrote on behalf of has been freed. It is a feeling, there's nothing like that.
Well, you told me an interesting story about what drew you personally to Amnesty International. I think let's close by having you tell our listeners what moved you to join and become a leader in Amnesty International.
Well, it's a really interesting story. I actually saw the logo one day and fell in love with it.
Which is a candle surrounded by barbed wire.
Yes, and it's very simple. And I felt like a candle surrounded by barbed wire in my own life. And I just was drawn to the power of that image. And then...
So you were a survivor of abuse.
Yes, I am. Yeah. My own political prisoner of conscience, I suppose. And it just... There was so much hope in that image that you could have the light and the barbed wire and they could coexist.
Yeah. Well, it's a very commendable thing to take what must be very painful memories for yourself and turn that into something good to try and help others, to help really all of humanity.
Yes, I definitely think being a survivor helps that, because I can relate to a lot of the issues or in the emotions that people are having as they go through these ridiculous accusations and imprisonments.
Yeah. Well, Renee, I want to thank you very, very much for joining us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
Thank you.